or their experience of the game, and he told me, when the meeting ends, the button at the bottom, the menu button,
yes.
You just short press that. Just press it. Okay?
The department explains that over expenses of this program incurred as a result of local and overseas travel for Sukarno officials, and no further information has been provided in this regard.
You remember after the ship, the minister said those who were seconded by different departments were funded.
The other day, if you can remember very well, but then I was just off the record. I've asked for, you know what the situation was while I had to leave the meeting, and I still requested, can I leave a recorder just to follow up, find out what happened after I left? Now, there's a gentleman that came in, I think he's from the department, that came in, and he gladly just put down his recorder, and he's recording what we're saying. So if we as members cannot do it, how come then that departments can walk in and put on their recorders and record what they are saying, and we as members cannot do it? I don't know if we have clarity on this issue.
Okay. And if you ask one of your colleagues to do this, then you know I'm doing it.
Oh, all right. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to program 4, the Lives of People with Disabilities program, and we can support performance for that program. Again, it also has the same three sub-programs as the other two. If we move on to table 7, looking at the program performance, the review of that, in terms of objective 1, to maintain disability considerations into government policies and governance processes. The top strategy there again was to finalize the disability mainstreaming strategy and disability responses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of to finalize disability mainstreaming strategy and disability responsibilities strategy, and it was not finalized, and it's concerned that it has to be concluded. I think this is what members have been saying all along, the concerns in this regard, that mainstreaming strategies and budgeting strategies not being concluded and finalized, what the implications of that for the department to better deliver on its mandate. The department will note that the following targets as having been partly achieved, however, further clarity is sought to determine what the impact has actually been and what the tangible outcomes were. And these included, over on page 16, the objective 1, to maintain disability considerations for governance services. The first thing there was disability maintenance strategy and guidelines circulated. The concern there, strategy and guidance circulated is still in draft. In the absence of a finalized mainstream strategy, how will the department be guided? Secondly, the disability responsive budgeting. The strategy and guidance is also still separated as being in draft. And again, what guides the department to have to finalize these strategies? As a national disability policy and role in place, But you've got to notice that this is part achievement, even though the policy remains draft and there's no clear indication at what the Federal Disposed Goal is. The National Disability Summit. A summit was successfully hosted with attendance of over 300 participants and recommendations from this for integrating the National Disability Policy draft. It is unclear as to what the outcome of the resolution was and how it was affected into a draft policy. In the Disability Draft Fund, the fund was not implemented, but consultations were held to develop intervention in this regard. There was no indication given as to when the fund would be launched. In terms of the true to monitor and evaluate the maintenance of disability considerations in the government policies and guidance processes, an audit concluded and report available. So an audit was not completed, and 8 provinces were still in the process of conducting the audit. The key reason cited for non-fulfillment was due to financial year-end constraints, as having had delayed the process of completing questionnaires in some provinces. The department will be submitting the survey report by end of May 2012. Then the UNCRPD country report was to have been submitted, and that did not happen.
How far are we at some things? Are we still not looking at this?
We have requested the department to send a copy program to them and indicated that they need to report to the community on the United Nations, the current report, to stability all the copies for them. Flexibility and status on women who can't report.
And on page 17, the following targets are noted to be partially achieved, however more clarity should also be put in this regard. The first is a managing tool developed and implemented. It's cited as a partial achievement as the tool was in progress. Secondly, National Disability Machinery Meeting. The report is made to host 4 quarterly meetings and to be reduced from 30 minutes to report in this regard. While this target is reported on as being partially achieved, it appears only 1 meeting was held in the DDW review. Then in terms of campaigns, the report noted it's involved in several campaigns.
Sorry, it appears. Is it, are we clear on that only 1 meeting was held? Because it appears. Is that now that only 1 meeting was held?
November to a DM program for 16 days of activism. Reasons for variance, invitations literally sent out to all spheres of government to attend the machine scheduled for the 17th and 18th of May 2012, which is in this financial year. Financial constraints delayed the National Disability Machinery. The fourth quarter discussion process requires a comprehensive first meeting. Yeah. So, they were supposed to have it every quarter, and they only noted one on the 21st of November, which is about 2 weeks on the international day for disabled persons. Mm-hmm. So only one meeting happened.
Is that the email that we received from the representative? On the 3rd, and I think on the 3rd and 4th of December. So that's the one I'm
looking
at.
Okay. I'm changing this.
And if you look at campaigns, the department noted its involvement in several campaigns, for example, the mental health awareness campaign, but it is unclear as to what the outcomes of the initiative were and what our feasibility therefore. In terms of objective 3, to coordinate institutional support and capacity development program, first target not achieved is the orientation workshop on disability medicine concluding all nine provinces and reports compiled. No workshop was not conducted. When the economic empowerment policy and framework developed and implemented, not achieved due to capacity constraints. Looking at the expenditure for the program, $9.565 million, an additional amount of $1.4 million was in appropriation, and the actual amount spent was $9.553 million. Under expenditure for the program, an amount of $1.466 million. And this is attributed to human resource shortages as well as limited finances in order to achieve the planned activities.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I did not notice about one of those programs that the reason why they didn't run it was because of financial things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
saying
that
they're
not.
Sorry. I was thinking aloud.
I'm going to take a break and catch a little catch up from the We are on page 18. Consideration of reports of committee and public accounts. During the Leander Review, which is 2011-12, the department had not appeared before the Commission Public Accounts, and as such no reports are available in this regard. In terms of fines, looking at the consideration of other sources of information, according to the Budget Review Recommendation Report and the Money Amendment Bill Act, they suggest that we also look at the state of the nation as well. So moving on to the state of the nation address, what we had just picked up there was that in terms of government priority that was noted during the state of the nation address, that the priorities related to job creation and economic development, education, healthcare, rural development, and fighting against crime. And all of these priorities have been on women, children, and business disabilities. So bearing that in mind, the implication would be that the department they needed to look at these priorities and say, given that they have already programmed these target groups, how are they taking government priorities, monitoring and evaluating, advocating, coordinating issues in this regard? So that's the intention of the state of the nation, I think. In terms of the annual performance plan, strategic plan, as a committee, we would have wanted to see how are you addressing issues of crime, issues of job creation, education, healthcare, rural development, and land reform, given that your mandate is monitoring, evaluation, coordination, and advocacy. moving in onto the Standing Committee on Appropriation. So on page 18, in the report of the Standing Committee, on the third quarter expenditure of the department, the committee observes the following. The department was allocated an amount of 143.1 million for the 2011-12 financial year. At the end of the third quarter, the department had spent 113.7 million, which is 79% of the allocation. The department has projected to spend 110.1 million, which is 76.95%, at the end of the third quarter, resulting in an overexpenditure of 3.5 million, or 2.5%. This overspending occurred as a result of lack of spending on a number of programs, which will be discussed in the following session. In terms of 3.5.1, the department's budget comprised of four programs, as we know, which is the Administration, Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. The programs which have not performed well have been discussed in more detail following the under. In terms of the Administration, Program 1 was allocated an amount of 46.8 million for the 2011-12 financial year. At the end of the third quarter, the department had 46.1 million, which is about 178% of the budget. An amount of 17.9 million was allocated towards compensation of employees, out of which 20.1 million, which is 112.5%, had been spent. Under goods and services, an amount of 17.9 million was allocated, and 19.2 million, which is 108%, had been spent during the period review. The department had spent its entire budgetary allocation for this program for 9 months. Of note, this program had exceeded its spending by 15.4 million for the first 9 months. The reason for this was as follows. The department employed staff at higher notches than the approved notch for the Department of Public Services. Some staff members were employed outside the approved organogram of the department. The committee expressed concern that expenditure related to the compensation of employees, to which the National Treasury responded that it was in the process of identifying the underlying reasons for the department not spending within its approved budget and to make recommendations thereon. The committee requested the National Treasury to furnish it with a time frame for the conclusion of the aforementioned exercise. It was stated that there was a need for uniformity in respect of the administration program across all national departments. A point was made that this department was underspending the program related to its core mandate, yet administration program budget had been exhausted before the fourth quarter of the 2011-12 financial year. This was a concern and a turnaround strategy was needed in that regard. Moving then on to the child rights and the rights of persons with disabilities. For child rights, Program 3 was allocated an amount of 10.1 million for the 2011-12 financial year. At the end of the third quarter, the department had spent 9.9 million or 97.9%, which was 2.3 million or 23% more than the required 75% of expenditure at the end of the third quarter. The department has objected to spend 7.6, which is 75%, at the end of the third quarter. This over-expenditure was as a result of a high level of spending on advertising and catering. Even though the matter was reported under investigation, it remained a cause for concern. Rights of people with disabilities. Even though the department has reported over-expenditure in Program 4, it is important to note that this program has reported under-expenditure at the end of third quarter. The program was allocated 11.9 million for the 11-12 financial year. Moving on to page 20. At the end of the third quarter, the department had spent 6.2 million or 51% of its budget. The department had projected to spend at least 9.4, which is 78% at the end of the same period. Therefore, the department has underspent by 3.2 million, which is 14%. This was due to slow spending on the compensation of employees as a result of vacant positions under this program. For the women's program, Program 2 was allocated an amount of 78.1 million for the 2011-12 financial year. At the end of the third quarter, the department had only spent 51.3 million or 65.7%. The department had projected to spend 62.3 million or 79.8% at the end of the same period. The under-expenditure was due to the lack of transfer planning payments which were supposed to be made to the Commission for Gender Equality. Overall, the reported over-expenditure in terms of economic classification was identified on compensation of employees, goods as servants, and capex. For instance, under Program 1, the Department has spent more than its allocation in the first 9 months of the 2011-12 financial year. This was a cause for concern, and the sustainability of the program was therefore requiring attention. The spending by this department would lead to the shifting of funds and relevance costs thus over the credibility of the budget, and as such, defeated the primary objectives of the affected programs. The department was one of the newly established departments which received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General for the 2010-11 financial year, with some findings and predetermined objectives and compliance laws and regulations which were as follows. Lack of preventative and detective measures of unauthorized and irregular expenditure, procurement of goods from suppliers with no tax clearance certificate, and a lack of audit committee statutes. Concerns were expressed at the following expenditures that were incurred by the department. An unauthorized expenditure of 3.7 million, which was emanated from overspending. An irregular expenditure of 6.6 million, of which 271,000 was related to supply chain management processes. About 4 procurements were done from suppliers without tax clearance certificates, and one was done without inviting the quotation. So that in summary highlights much of what was discussed yesterday and what the department had noted to us before. Issues of supply chain management concerns, the compensation of employees, notches, and the irregular expenditure. Shall I proceed on to the Auditor General? Which, moving on to number 6, reports of the Auditor General of South Africa. The AG findings indicated that the department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. The number of incidents of non-compliance identified has increased from the prior year. The Auditor General indicated in his presentation to the committee, which is our committee, that there has been no improvement in audit outcome of the department when compared to the previous year. Moving on to page 21, I will just highlight some of the AG findings. In terms of 6.1.1, supply chain management, goods and services with a transaction value below 500,000 were procured without obtaining the required plus quotations as required by Treasury regulation. And I think this relates to issues of caterings and planes and the like thereof, which as noted we will pick up in terms of observation and recommendations that for all the programs we need a detailed breakdown per program, what was allocated and what was spent. Contracts were awarded to suppliers with tax matters that had not been declared by the South African Revenue Service to be in order as required by the Treasury Regulations and the Preferential Procurement Regulations. The other thing which just came to mind for me now was a concern noted by one of the members yesterday in the Standing Committee on Appropriations that once the department noted managers didn't know how much they had in their budget for the program, and they didn't know how much they could spend. But if that was the case, if it was in the program dealing with campaigns and events, how is it that you're able to procure and undertake things? So there's a disjuncture between not knowing how much money you have, but at the same time you're spending and you're asking for services from people who don't have tax certificates and you don't have expectations. The 2.3, store page 21. Preference point system was not applied to all procurement of goods and services above 300,000 as required by the Framework Act and the Treasury Regulations. Contracts were awarded to bidders who did not submit a declaration of whether they are employed by the state or connected to any person employed by the state, which is prescribed in order to comply with Treasury Regulation 60A8. Employees of the department performed remunerative work outside the employment in the department without written permission from the relevant authority as required by Section 30 of the Public Service Act. Moving on to predetermined objectives, usefulness of information. Treasury Regulation 5.24 requires that the annual performance plan should form the basis for the annual report, therefore requiring the consistency of objectives indicated the targets between planning and reporting documents. A total of 42% of the reported targets are not consistent with indicators and targets as per the approved annual performance plan. So there's a disjuncture between what's in the strategic plan and what's in the annual performance plan. So therefore it's difficult for us to track across the two what they've done against what they said they intend to do. This is due to the fact that indicators and targets are not suitably developed during the strategic planning process. Number two, the National Treasury Framework for Managing Program Performance Information requires the performance targets to be specific and clearly identified in nature and required level of performance. A total of 27% of the targets relevant to the women's program were not specific and clearly identified in nature and required level of performance. This is due to the fact that the indicators and targets are not sufficiently developed during the strategic planning process. Bullet
3, the framework
for managing program performance requires that the performance targets be measurable. The required performance could not be measured for a total of 50% of the targets. Relevant to the women's program. This is due to the fact that the indicators and targets are not suitably developed during the strategic planning process. The last bullet says, on the top of page 22, the National Fishery Framework for Managing Program Performance requires that indicators or measures should have clear, unambiguous data definition so that the data is collected consistently and is easy to understand and use. A total of 27% of indicators relevant to Program 2 were not well defined, in that clear, unambiguous data definitions were not available to allow for data to be collected consistently. This is due to the fact that the indicators and targets were not sufficiently developed during the strategic planning process. So in a nutshell, it comes back to much of what we discussed before. How can you say something is an achievement when you don't actually know whether it makes an impact as outcome? So therefore, whatever objective they have and whatever target and indicator, we must be able to identify this is the output. And because you achieve this output, this is an achievement or not. Moving on to human resources. Job descriptions were not established for all firms in which appointments were made in the current year, as defined by the Public Service Regulation. Sufficient appropriate audit evidence could not be attained that appointments were only made in firms which were approved and funded. Just to clarify, I checked with the Auditor General specifically around the notches and the job descriptions, and he even struggled to identify where specifically these jobs were. My request was, please can you give us an indication for the collective you noted that these compensation of employees as against the organogram, job descriptions and levels, it didn't match. I said, identify for me who were those jobs, where were they allocated, and what were the notches. And he said he couldn't really do that because he even struggled to execute that in the department, and he requested that we ask specifically from the department for a breakdown of all the jobs against the organogram in relation to notches so that we can see for ourselves, because he himself struggled to identify and get that information.
Do you want to say that the Auditor General says that the post-retail things that are tied or those in the field, they are not corresponding to the organogram? Is that what you're saying?
That's
my cue.
Just to add on to that one, to safeguard this committee, I think we really need to ask for the organogram with a different job or level, with a name to those jobs or levels, to the notches or to the different levels of jobs, of qualifying the notches to that level. Just to prevent this committee, you know, for us as a committee to be clear on these issues, that they are coming up with the correct information.
Yesterday, I think in the turnaround strategy, if I'm not wrong, it's going to be the reorganization. Is it we are going to work on the organization?
events and whom it was saying to. We need now detailed breakdowns on this department issue.
And just noting so practically around the issues of human resources. In terms of concluding the BRR for the financial year 11-12, the information we don't have around HREs, for that period under review, how many people were employed
permanently
and who was seconded? Because in terms of the over expenditure for compensation of employees, it would be in relation to permanent and temporary people. Again, so that information we have overall information of how much was spent, but the detail against the organogram we don't have. And then secondly, for turnaround strategy, we need to know from where we have been to where we're going. So it's one of two recommendations for the BRR for 11-12. We need information now. Let's say for that year, how many people did you have on your books? How many of them were permanent and how many of them were temporary? We may not be able to get the notches because that's ideal, but at least if we have that, then we can ask them, give that information in relation to your organogram. So the organogram in the annual report clearly, there's a link to every branch. So they need to say, well, in this we've got, and they've done it for us before, they could say, one chief director, CAAs, one DG. Mm-hmm.
Just to end on it, and maybe we should highlight their levels also. Even if they indicated that they are going to apply to the level, before they can apply to it, the information we are going to give to us, they must indicate which level they have been given in terms of their salary. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to add, because I found it yesterday quite revealing that they have reported that they've got 202 staff members in the department at the appropriation. So it would be interesting to know where those people are allocated, whether it's top heavy or whether we've got people, sufficient amount of people in the program. Because I think going forward, it's going to help us to assess whether they'll actually be able to deliver on these key deliverables if there's not, you know, we should get that rate up. Because I saw 202 people, it's quite a lot for a department that's actually not delivering. Mm. So it would be interesting to have that information. Thank you.
And Chair, if I can add to that, one of my issues were going to be the permanency or the temporary appointments of staff. And then my second point that I noted here, are there any contracts of period tied to the term of office, especially for political office bearers? Are there any contracts for the period tied to the term of office for political office bearers? I'd love to know that one. I made a note on that one. Seeing that there. I actually have a note on the travelling story too, because to me it seems that travelling is now the scapegoat for overspending, you know? And they tend to highlight that one. So, working with the travel agencies. Are we there already? Oh, not yet. Let me just show that one for me. Yeah. Let me just finish the staff story. Let me just finish the staff or the employee story. I think we can also ask for. Can we just help me here? Those that are in senior posts that have resigned, because some of them were for very short periods, and some of them went back to the presidency. Can we ask for reasons on that? Are we allowed to ask for the reasons why?
Why don't we ask for the movement?
Yeah, just word it correctly, for movement in that area, because you know, Chief, you know for yourself, if that structure keeps on shifting and keeps on moving, continuity is actually not in the book. And they tell us, everybody that starts afresh has their own way of doing things, and some of them don't even fall back on what was done
every time we start afresh. So that is a main concern of our substructures changing so much in so many ways.
Clearly, we will sit down and discuss, but if we don't get to the meeting,
Let the department tell us what is happening, why there is a turnover of senior managers. Is there any interview exit? If there is an interview exit, let them give us that report so that we, as a committee, we can get the information, what is the cost of them. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, just on what the honourable member said on the spending pattern on children's rights and responsibilities. You know, this is rather serious. Bearing in mind that a UNICEF report in Cole with the University of South Africa that came out mentions that 50,000 of our children in South Africa is in childcare households. Yet we are spending a third of what is spent on administration. Administration, the cost to administration, 31,000 and the children, I mean 31 million, and the children is 3 million. And yet we have this, and I've seen terrible issues when I was in social development, household care. We cannot allow this to proceed, honestly speaking. That must be mentioned in our recommendation.
I think with this information, can we also make it part of our raising concerns about
just adding to that, to our concerns, in this information that we have just received, my two honourable colleagues next to me have pointed out on page 4 in the report to the Standing Committee on Appropriations on the 29th of August.
It does not relate to what we are dealing with. That's how the honourable member wants to do our team. Can you back hear what she wants to say?
Yeah, but we have to go through all this, isn't it? Through all this, yeah. So that it can be, we can go through.
Sorry, my two colleagues just set up a little sentence which I think is interesting to note. It says, whereas the Department of Administration at the bottom, whereas the Department's approved structure comprised of 177 posts, several of these posts were found to be inappropriate to the services provided by the Department.
I wanted to note only one point. Chairperson, that's why it's important to us to receive documentation prior to these meetings, so that we can scrutinize these reports or answers that come and at least add to what we are presenting. But only now this report was given to us, and so very issues to the delays here or answers to the delays here that are not in line with what the department does. Every time we have a different story. Extra also not going to put up maybe a second to him.
Okay. What I will do is we go back to our BRR report and the human resources. This report that we got here on the fund I referred to is the Standing Committee on Appropriations. So that's specifically around the human resources. That issue there about the posts, I will include in the previous section because I can't include it here now under the audit general.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of the post, what is allocated, what is received, I'll notice there. So we'll put that up there. So just moving on to on HR 6.1.3, page 22. Third bullet, salary ranges, posts were increased without a job evaluation that supports the increased opportunities based on incorrect grading and or without sufficient funds in the budget in contravention of the public service regulation. Employees receive overtime compensation in excess of 50% of their monthly salaries. The human resource plan did not include a budget analysis that ensures that the plan can be executed within the available budgeted funds as required by public service regulation. 6.1.4, in terms of information technology control, user access control were not adequate as they did not fully address or mitigate key risks. IT management had not formally approved the documented information technology disaster recovery plan, and IT management had not formally designed IT governance controls in terms of policies, procedures, and guidelines to mitigate the risk of IT goals and objectives not being aligned with the business strategic goals. Informal controls were in place, but were inadequate. In terms of 6.1.5, material error and omission in the financial statements. The financial statements submitted for auditing were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework as required by Section 40 of the Public Finance Management Act. Material misstatements of disclosure items identified the auditors in the submitted financial statements were subsequently corrected and supportive records were provided subsequently, resulting in the financial statements receiving an unqualified audit opinion. So what the Auditor General has said is they had picked up concerns and mistakes, noted the department, then corrected it, and then gave it the relevant information. Page 23, financial health status. Current expenditure exceeded the approved current expenditure budget. The department would not have been able to fund all liabilities or accruals from the current year's voted funds if all liabilities had been paid at a year end. All voted funds approved for the next year are not available for use. An accrual adjusted surplus for the year was not achieved. An accrual adjusted net asset position was not achieved. Total liabilities exceeded total assets. The year-end bank balance was in overdraft. The AG recommendations for the 2011-12 annual report in terms of supply chain management. The department needs to ensure that the supply chain management unit is sufficiently resourced. Control should be implemented to ensure compliance with regulations. Appropriate action should be taken against appropriate officials. Management should ensure that the supply chain management unit implements the institution's supply chain management policy and also complies with all the legislation. Disciplinary action should be taken against the supply chain management unit, officials or other officials for non-compliance with the policy and the legislation. In terms of 87th objective, the department should ensure that it follows up on its action plans to ensure that appropriate action is taken timely to address issues noted. Workshops should be conducted with National Treasury to ensure clear guidance on expectations when the strategic plan is being drafted. Human resources. The accounting officer should establish a mechanism to ensure compliance with laws and regulations. The officer should initiate processes in terms of treasury regulations with regard to irregular expenditure. Management must implement controls to ensure that the appropriate level of management review and approve over time as required in terms of the PS regulation, which should be at responsibility manager level. Control should be implemented to ensure that monthly compensation for overtime constitutes less than 30% of the employee's monthly salary. A checklist should be prepared to ensure that all the requirements are adhered to. Plan should be adequately reviewed by the HR executive. Moving on to page 24, ITC. The CFO is the data owner should ensure that the portal and the BAS and the account management procedures are approved and implemented. The review of the BAS and the portal system control activities with regard to the user account management should be regularly performed. In addition, the system controllers should ensure that evidence of monitoring of user profiles is obtained for audit purposes. I think the issue of the portal and the BAS is around a number of people you have on staff, an issue also of annual leave, sick leave, and anything that.
Yes, Chair. Yes, just on the sick leave. Where in the budget is the sick
practically. You must just view the days that, especially the top structure when I worked with the board. I remember it was worrying to me that the top structure, to top structure is very, very high. Very, very high, and that can also be the reason for the department not achieving what they ought to, or being able to monitor what is happening in their garden. I've seen it from a
I'm
trying now to get to it. I remember I picked up something on the sick leave, which was, to me, is just too much.
No matter how long it's sick, if
Chairperson, if I can just have clarity on the other one.
Sorry, can you let it change?
Is that our reasoning for the 470 and 87 days sick leave without medical certificates? Is that the reason for that too? More or less the same reason.
Moving on to page 24, still 62.5, material errors and omissions in the financial statement. These annual financial statements should be reviewed by governance structures, that management, internal audit and audit committee. Page 24, 6.2.5, bullet number 2, the annual financial statements appear to be adequately supported by substantiated evidence to corroborate validity, accuracy, and completeness thereof. Moving on to the committee's observations, having interacted with the department and the Auditor General's office, the committee made the following observations. The committee's observations in terms of engagement with the Auditor General, the committee noted the findings and recommendations as presented by the Auditor General and the Financial Fiscal Commission. The department's response. In responding to the Auditor General, the department responded as follows. The in-year monitoring report has been compiled on a monthly basis and submitted to the Director General's office review. Monthly cash flow reports have been sent out to the responsibility managers to ensure financial discipline and monitoring. With funding needed to be shifted, responsibility managers must sign off for approval and revised cash flow reports are sent out. bi-month cash flow report will be sent out in October 2012. Reprioritizing of the goods and services budget was done in consultation with the relevant programs. Identified funding were moved to compensation to ensure a carry-through effect on compensation. This will ensure that we are no overspending on compensation of employees for the next 3 financial years. A turnaround strategy would be developed to address concerns raised by the Auditor General of South Africa. Just to note the issue of the goods and services in relation to the program, given that there was overspending in some regards, there was a meeting held to go to the Women's Program, Children and Disability Program, and actually ask them to adjust their budget so the money could be shifted. That's what the key issue was that came out of there. In its presentation to the Committee on its Turnaround Strategy, the department indicated that the key message and objective of the turnaround is to ensure a clean audit for 2012-13 and beyond and improve organizational performance. The approach in implementing the turnaround strategy would be in 3 phases, namely phase 1, crisis management, 2, stabilize and move towards sustainability, 3, intense growth and performance. Department indicated that the turnaround strategy would focus on the following, the organizational strategy and mandate. The department does not have a legislative mandate as it was created by means of a presidential proclamation. In this regard, the department indicated that it has embarked on a strategic review process and this has resulted in an overhaul of the strategic plan with more emphasis on rights and empowerment of women, children and people with disabilities. Organizational structure. The current organizational structure would be revised once the strategy has been revised to ensure alignment with approved strategy. This will enable the department to improve its ability to deliver on the revised mandate. Addressing budget challenges. The department indicated that it is currently operating on deficit due to the misalignment between the allocation, the approved organigram and the strategic plan. In terms of the turnaround process, the issue of addressing budgetary challenges would be to address in 2 ways, namely submission to the National Treasury through the adjusted estimates of national expenditure process in August 2012 and in the expenditure estimates for 2013 medium-term expenditure as informed by the new strategic plan. Skills audit. The revised organogram will require a process of skills audit to determine alignment of current skills to the new organogram. This exercise will be conducted with the current internal resources. However, it might be necessary to source external support to ensure an effective analysis of skills. Financial management improvement. The finance unit requires an extensive overhaul to ensure that we avoid repeat audit findings that have been occurring over the past 3 years. The appointment of an appropriate skill CMO is a critical component of financial management improvement within the department. To date, emphasis has been made at EXCO and MANCO meetings on the need to reduce expenditure on travels and events. The delegations have reduced on international trips to ensure that the least number of employees travel and those who travel perform more than one role during the trip. Workshops will be arranged internally to unpack the PSMA and Treasury regulations for senior managers to clarify supply chain management processes. All expenditure has to be supported and confirmed by the Director of Finance and the Deputy Director of General Corporate Management to ensure some level of expenditure within the current allocation. Management of oversight. While your regular meetings held with executive authority and senior management, there's a need to revise the management forums to enable continuous and timely monitoring and evaluation of organizational performance, turning over these to page 26, and also to reflect on strategic and operational matters. The reporting template will also include a column on corrective measures so that management is able to assess if the corrective measures exist and whether they are sufficient. The PMA checklist will be included as part of quarterly reporting to enable detection of non-compliance and a decision on corrective measures. Management of absenteeism. The departmental due to absenteeism due to annual, sick and special leave. This analysis will enable branch heads to assess the extent of attendance and complete performance then with a view to making the necessary change reapplicable. An automated leave system will be developed to ensure integrity of the leave management system. HR quarterly report. The department will monitor all areas of human resources and provide monthly reports on indicators such as appointments, promotions, resignations, disciplinary matters, grievances, and dismissals. Improvement in financial management. The department has been experiencing challenges in managing its financial resources, and this is evident in the irregular and unauthorized expenditure incurred. The CFO will review all financial delegations and ensure that responsibility managers have accurate delegation letters with clear guidance on the conditions under which the delegation should be exercised. Updated allocation letters will be sent to ensure that all budget managers are aware of their total allocations for the remainder of the financial year. Internal audit. The director for internal audit assumed duty on the 1st of July 2012. It is however necessary that a co-source internal audit function is clear, aided by appointing an external service provider to work with the new incumbent. Once funds have been secured and a service provider identified, an audit will be conducted on payroll, IT governance, donor funding, job descriptions, a business incumbent and review of irregular expenditure. It is anticipated that the director internal audit will focus on progress report on addressing audit findings, compiling an audit findings register, verified and updated on a regular basis.
Chair, I hope I'm still on the right wavelength. My question now is, and I think you'll remember that I've asked a question on performance bonuses. Chair, if you can explain, if I understand correctly, on page 168, on performance, is the performance reward the same as performance bonuses that were paid? Is it the same? Okay. Can you just take us through that? Because if I am right, 168. Administrative level, number of beneficiaries 1, total employment 42, percentage 2.4, the cost. Average cost of beneficiary, is it 9,000 or 9 million?
9 million.
Nobody answered me. I don't think I was answered on performance bonuses. And the other one is largely made and related. It's still very strange. Largely made and related. I don't understand that table 100%. Total employment 5, percentage of total employment 20, cost 4 million. 4.8 million. Just take us through that table. Does that refer to performance bonuses? The bottom one, 10.4 speaks on performance related reward and bonus. I'm asking this because this department is performing not that well. Why is this all these performance bonuses? Or reward people bonus really
I think we can, it's not really clear because even the sums don't add up.
No,
it's 9 million and 4 million, but the total is 7.
Yeah.
So, and then the number of beneficiaries is 1, total employment is 42.
Yeah.
So,
it's very confusing because that would mean that one person got a 9 million rand bonus and then one person got another 4 million rand bonus and it's a clerk. So that is obviously, that's quite confusing then. We need to clarify that.
Chair? That is very serious, Chair.
Seeing that we have overspend on admin special chair, that is a very serious issue. I couldn't understand that table at all. I just highlighted it and I've marked it. Is this performance bonus? Who did it go to? Who were rewarded here? I don't understand the table at all.
Chair, but on a lighter note,
if one person gives you a 9 million rand bonus, I'm leaving. I'm going to that spot. I'm going to ask for a job. I'll be gone.
Is that a reason why senior management tends to just be there for a couple of months and then go? They often come a month and millionaires.
That is the one I picked up in working through it.
At the risk of increasing anyone's blood pressure. Yeah. 23 million rand of expenditure. We think goods and services probably in the range of 3 to 4 million. But if you look at the performance bonus and the total cost, it's 14 million. On page 168, cost, it's 14 million. So if we say 23 million rand was over expenditure, and the key argument was that actually we had to include people of higher notches. So if of the 23 million, 3 million is related to goods and services around traveling and catering, so then there's 20 million. Now of that 20 million, we're saying, if you look at this year, is it that 14 million is for performance bonus, which leaves 6 million for having employed people above, not I don't know, I'm just alerting members to the issue of the performance bonus comes to 14 million rand.
And you know, if you go further back to 166, you see that the equity in this department is completely out of order. If you go on to 166, I might go there too. Equity in this department is completely out of order. I don't even want to speak on disability in this department. It's completely out of order. I highlighted it when working through it. It's so interesting, you know, working through these reports. And at times when I don't understand it, that makes me so frustrated.
I just wanted to raise a concern because, you know, also in my other portfolio committee meeting, I think really it's out of order for a department to, you know, award performance bonuses when most of their targets have not been achieved.
Yeah.
And I think that is also, it's really something we must highlight very clearly because I've seen in other departments who have had high performance levels and that not rewarding their staff. And in fact, you know, one must ask the question, what were they rewarded for? You know, what were the actual achievements for which, because, you know, our laws and regulations are very clear that once you talk about a performance bonus, it must be performance linked. So a person must be able to prove that they've really performed exceptionally in executing their roles and responsibilities to be able to qualify for a performance bonus. So if we have our performance bonuses willy-nilly, these employees are going to expect again come next financial year. And I really want to say, in other departments, performance bonuses are linked to performance, exceptional performance. It's not just something that is dished out willy-nilly. And especially in this department that's got a crisis of financial management, I really wonder, how can one award such high performance bonuses if it's not linked to performance? I think it's a fundamental error. Really.
Chair, if I can just add on to that quickly.
I really should ask this question. Because, you know, to me, performance bonuses cannot be given to one person heading a department. If those working with that senior official does not perform, neither will that top structure perform. So I cannot see why we go on to performance bonuses. I would still perhaps agree for rewarding anybody a 13th check for what they have put in. But giving a performance bonus to the senior level people, such high performance bonuses, it's just not acceptable. Because it's the whole team that really makes that section of the department going forward and adding to the value that they are of the output. I don't agree with performance bonuses. I was very honest on that.
Come on.
Okay, I'm going to make it a little bit worse now. On page 171, at the bottom there's a table indicating leave payouts for people who had resigned or whatever, cessation of service.
and there's an amount of 26.8 million for 5 people and an average payment per employee is 8.3 million.
Page
171. Table 9.5. Are they allowed to have? Page 171. The bottom table 9.5, which is leave by out.
I'm going to this department.
Can you see why they are leaving? I'm asking that question all the way.
That is 171. And now, are they allowed to give study bursaries too to the employees? Are they allowed to study? Are these bursaries, are they repayable? Because someone has picked up study bursaries too as I was in it.
I just want to check here. I'm so grateful that you can work through it like this.
This is that I'm not clear on.
So,
because you know, I think also then we must query how much those people earn. Because if that's a leave payout, it means the actual salary was astronomical.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if one then looks at those figures, if those 5 people who've got those leave payouts, it means that those salaries were probably way above any other department salaries. And you know, see that's when we start getting to the crux of the matter, is that, you know, when you look at the performance bonus, the leave payout, it means those people have earned huge salaries. So we need to also get more information, if we could, from the department on that.
And can I just add to that one?
For a very, very short period of time. For a very, very short period of time. Thinking that this department is only up and running for this is the fourth year. So we're actually working on 3 years that need a huge amount of pay down. Which even makes it worse.
I'll pick up something somewhere on
okay, I'm
For the Flaxman report, I've been through it. It highlights only a query of, I think, 5 to 7 positions that was investigated in terms of people that were employed, that in terms of the relationships. I think it's only relating to 5 or 7 people. But it doesn't cover, and the other thing it does cover is around the overtime, because it was in relation to one person, and it actually exceeded the issue of the 30% in the salary. And the other two things that covered was people that were employed, administrative people, but they came from outside of Gauteng province, and then they were the costs incurred for their moving, as well as living for 3 months before they could find their own accommodation, and that amount was also far exceeded the total salary of that person. So it basically doesn't cover the issue of the performance bonus, and it doesn't cover the issue of leave. I'm going to just nip through the highlights on page 26. We've been through the improvement of the financial management in terms of the internal audit to discover that. Records management, the institutional memory is a valuable asset to entity and records is critical that the proper accurate record keeping is maintained. The audit process highlighted serious challenges with regards to records management, especially those that relate to personnel and finance. Lack of proper record keeping was also identified within core business units with regards to performance information. There's a need to inculcate the culture of collecting and filing evidence to achieve targets, both monthly and quarterly. Lack of proper record keeping is a serious risk for the department that is acting in every environment for non-compliance and fraud. External environment, the department has been receiving both positive and negative media coverage. Sorry, to some extent the negative media coverage not related to the work of the department, but research refers to stock issues that ideally should not be in the public domain. A rebranding exercise will have to be embarked upon within the turnaround process is conveyed to the public, and these media campaigns are embarked upon to improve the image of the department and improve compliance environment will also be a significant catalyst for improved public image. A media monitoring feedback system will then be utilized to assess the impact of the rebranding. We now move on to the observations made by the committee in relation to all the reports, all our engagement and the annual report. What we've done here is noted these observations in some meetings. First, under general, the committee notes with concern the investigations currently underway within the department. The committee noted that the lack of leadership within the department was concerning, hence it would appear there was no guidance provided to support officials within the department for the period under review. In terms of financial observations, the committee noted concern that the overexpenditure had doubled since last financial year, with a deficit of 23 million incurred in the administration program and 1.8 million in the child rights and responsibilities program. The committee noted concern that the department contravened the PMA by not following the proper tender processes as outlined by the Auditor General of South Africa. The department indicated that 7 officials had in fact attended the UN Commission on the Status of Women and not 3 had indicated in its presentation. This was established only once the committee sought clarity in this regard. The committee noted with concern that the National Treasury has approved an allocation of 19 million to address the shortfall currently faced by the department. The committee was made aware of this during the department's briefing on its annual report and financial statement.
bonuses, 26 million on leave buyouts, that comes to 40 million, mm-hmm. which
you know, the employers, really in the face of their arguments, they didn't have enough money to pay for staff, and that's why they've been struggling.
Mm.
Because they found 40 million to give bonuses and leave payouts.
Mm.
You know, so for me, one, you know, if one looks at the arguments before, we have got enough money to pay competent staff, but on the other hand, they found 40 million to pay performance bonuses and leave payouts. It's really, they forced them to put in this extra 12 million which they needed for staff compensation.
Mm.
Because they spent willy-nilly on other areas, now they had to go and beg for 12 million extra. So this is really, it's of great concern. We must know that.
Okay,
I was just wondering whether we should actually put this expense, because the AG has already made his own findings, and he has given out opinions as to what should happen. So I wonder, the information that you are looking for, what are we going to do with it?
Okay.
That is my question. Because it has already been in the AG's office. And we met with the appropriation, which is the portfolio committee that looks at the trends of spending of the department, and we had a conclusion on this department. So what are we trying to do? What is it that we want?
Okay.
And over and above this, the report on what is check the next step. Where you see, I know they are already acting. There are already attorneys involved.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby I think if there are attorneys on the other side, there are attorneys on the other side. Which might this whole issue of the department might end up in court. So I wonder, is it not enough for the insight that we have got from the and the discussions that we had and that we had with other with appropriation over and above the department and the flexibility and the appropriation. So I don't know.
Can I come in there?
No.
Is it my turn?
Can I be educated here?
The department doesn't have money. The AD or the AD has made an investigation. But now there comes substance. I just want to find out what are the terms and references of craftsmen in the department. All in terms of reference, what are the main reasons for that craftsmen to be appointed? Has the AD or the AD has already made the investigation and even also the recommendation? Maybe I can take it from there. Thank you very much.
I don't even want to look into the flood report. Because To my understanding, as I've gone through this report, I think the Flaxman report was actually meant to be the confidential report, and not the turnaround strategy. So I can make next to doing these films to come. My issue is, the department came and they presented to us, and what they presented to us is different to what they presented to the appropriation. Yesterday when I wanted to alert them to some issues, and I can't hear in for a traffic of sharp those issues, but I know that I can safeguard myself. The way of looking at issues is from the appropriation side, not as we as a committee want to call or have to call the department to order or to explaining to us what has happened. It is above my mind to understand how people in a short period of time could get retirement settlements or termination of service settlements of 5 million plus. Somewhere there are huge irregularities in the system. As an MP, after 2 years, 2 terms, I won't even get 5 million. So it does not make sense to me, and that is why I'm asking for this. What we as a committee do, and we can do a hell of a lot of it, thinking that there is another annual report coming up next year, and here with my farmers of next year, thinking. You know, if you look at it that way, no, truly. Chairperson, if you don't do things right now, will you ever be able to do things right tomorrow if you do not have the will to succeed? Knowing that these things here are already this year to a year, you can't put the plaster over it. You need to clean it out completely. And yesterday they said I must not be a prophet of doom. If we cannot clean out the wound, if we cannot clean it out properly, it will not yield change. And we build on that and put the plaster on that, taking the plaster off, you can lose your whole finger. If you know what I mean, we need to get clarity from the department and the committee. Otherwise, you will have to go and sit for all of us.
Just in terms of taking us forward, noting on Bukaki's concern about the plasma report is an investigation. It was done on a, based on something that was sent to the minister, and she had appointed an external group of people to do that. That's one separate issue. The Auditor General does an audit of all departments, and the Auditor General, in terms of how they differ to us, this committee has oversight in relation to what the findings of the auditor is. All the Auditor General can note is that this was paid, these were the notches, these were not the notches. This is the concern, this was where regulations were not assigned at times. The committees, if we go back to the Constitution and the role of the National Assembly in terms of oversight in relation to departments and the executive on Bukaki, it's around, for us, it would be content for performance, but it's in relation to budget. How we would be different to the Standing Committee on Appropriations and SCOPA, I would go back to what members have given input on. If we take the issue of the performance bonus, leave payout and notches. The concern from the we would note that, but the members are indicating to us here that how, given that these were huge payouts, what are the implications for program performance in relation to making a difference for women, children and persons with disabilities? So I think that's where we would differ from the Select Committee on Appropriations and SCOPA. We would say that it is of concern that an allocation of 40 million rand went to performance bonus and payout, where we noted that the tangible outcome for the women's program was only in relation to a campaign and a goal has not been completed. For children, the machinery meetings were not met. For disability, we only had one meeting. So I think we need to bring back to the core mandate and function, which the Standing Committee and Appropriations don't focus on. So I think in terms of our recommendations, we can note in our observations all the things that we've said now, but our recommendations would be what in terms of a way forward, why we need to look at issues of the organogram and structure, so that as Honourable Funder Member indicated, if for next year they ask for more money, where is that more money going to? For what? And how are we going to deliver on women, children, persons with disabilities? So just to wrap up for finance, the two other issues we noted, which through our discussions, which wasn't in these bullet points, that the department indicated they submitted quarterly reports to National Treasury and they held meetings, but they also noted that in the year review, there was no internal financial management control systems. So our observations could be that even though the reports were submitted to National Treasury, there were no financial systems. So what was actually reported to National Treasury, if by the third quarter in the committee, now, it's two things which I noted that wouldn't put in. Whereby in the Standing Committee on Appropriations, it was noted by the third quarter already, there was over expenditure in relation to two programs. So the one is you submitted quarterly reports to National Treasury, but what did you put in those reports if to Parliament you indicated by your third quarter that over expenditure? The second bullet point which I include is around campaigns. What are the costs incurred for campaigns when the department had noted to the committee that other departments would be bearing some of the costs? So what in fact the our department in claims of some expenditure for campaigns. So that's a summary. We would note the issues of the finance. Two more things I'll add in. The quarterly reports and observation that they submitted Treasury, but yet what was in those reports. And the second thing around campaigns, what did it actually cost the department when in our oversight department noted to us in their briefings, other departments would also contribute to campaign. Moving on to human resources, still on page 27, the department indicated that the post for the Director General and the CFO is vacant and has advertised. The committee was concerned as to when will these posts be filled. The committee also noted concern that the human resources plan was not adequately budgeted for nor adhered to. The other two issues which I will include would be around that 99 persons in administration amounts to 31 million in terms of compensation of employees, that the structure is top heavy, and that for implementation of programs is fewer staff to actually implement. The second issue that I will note around the human resources is linked to performance bonus and the leave payout, that given that the program performance in relation to women, children, persons with disabilities was not forthcoming, on what basis was the performance bonuses issued, paid out? So that's the human resources. And program performance, the committee was concerned the department had spent more money on campaigns. Two extras. So the one extra that we noted, we looked at the structure, that is the majority of people are under administration, the 99 people, and the cost of them is 51 million, so it's top heavy. Very few people in women, children, persons with disabilities. The second one would be around two payouts, the performance bonus, which came to 14 million, and then the other one was around the leave payout, which came to 5 million. We'll include that
now. That's really I understand. It's that is the model we are going to take. But I was a little bit concerned with the issue of the leave and the bonus, where you say how many people were employed, how many, the breakdown, that's what I was concerned with. That it's like now we are getting out of our mandate. As people, we are putting another commission now over and above the other committees that have interacted with this department. But with the way that is the model that we are going to take, I don't have a problem with that.
But yeah, I think also what you're saying, we are also going to, in a nutshell, I don't know where, under observation, raise our concerns about those bonuses. We are going to be raising in our report.
Sorry, I don't understand correctly now. So we are not going to ask, just looking at the five people receiving 5.3 million on termination of services. Are we not that as a monitor, as one of our functions is to monitor, are we not allowed to ask for the names and periods of the time frame when these people were employed by the department?
No, I think you are entitled to, but I think we have to agree here as to also understand as to when are we going to get that information for us to be able to release our report.
Only for the committee's knowledge.
For the committee's knowledge.
Attention.
Fine.
We need to get that
clear.
Trying to focus the department's attention on. We are not focused. We have scrutinized this report and we're coming up with issues that we do that is unclear to us. That is, if we are the monitoring section of the department, then we need to do what we need to do. No matter how hard it is, we're not trying to break down the department. But I think we ought to know what is happening before somebody else starts out. Thank you.
No,
I think the information will be very much important to us. Hence, they indicated that the unauthorized expenditure, it happens when they hire the staff if they're not budgeted. Then we will be taken from there, comparing with the organogram of the other departments, and we'll be knowing those who are. Those who have already resigned and those who resigned and those who, are still at work. I would plead with you, Honorable, that please let the department work get the root of the problem. They must provide for that information.
Thank you. Honorable Member. I think I responded to Honorable Lau now, once you are
that the information is valid for us, but the timing for our report won't allow us to wait for that information.
No, we don't need to wait. The information that they...
Yeah, but we have mentioned that in our debate, you know, our concerns can raise them once we are waiting for that information, but our report must be in, but it's been valid.
When are we debating on this issue?
So, you must know that there is a procedure. They still have to table the report, you know, and we are given time. The time is very limited, it's only 3 days, but actually the debate, I'm not sure.
And the other reason too, and as I said, I don't want to refer to the flux in the report. If I'm correct, the Fluxman report was only done on the administration side, on employees of the department. Policies and that were not in place.
I
I'm not discussing that.
Still going to discuss it. So I'm not going to allow anybody to talk.
All right, let me just step over that one. I'm not saying that to safeguard myself. The consequences of what? The implications of that report, of the cluster report, for this department can be huge.
It is going to be huge. That is why I'm saying let us not preempt, because if we can go into it, everyone will want to comment. We know the implications.
Can you see why I said that was a confidential report?
Can you see why I've always tried to withdraw your attention?
Can we continue,
Honourable Member, please? Just unmindful of time, so I'm going to humbly request, I'm going to finish the report, and I did take comments and input right at the end. Now on page 27, under program performance, the committee was concerned that Spartan had spent more money on campaigns and events. The committee noted that the department did not have a maintenance strategy in all programs, and was concerned as to how they will guide other departments in the absence of the tools. I think this is in relation to women, children with disabilities. The other two issues which I picked up during the deliberations this morning was one, that the monitoring evaluation tool and framework, that they did not receive any feedback from departments, but the observation of the committee was, why did they not follow up with departments then? That was the one thing I'd include. The second issue is around the sanitary dignity campaign. I'll refer and include our oversight observations from the Eastern Cape and highlight here the sustainability of this campaign, and then conclude with that the role of this department is around monitoring, evaluation and coordination, and the duplication of the roles of other departments should be avoided. So that's the program for the other three things which crop in my mind around key documents is one, the National Program of Action for Children, the National Disability Policy Framework, and is there one for the women's framework? Gender mainstreaming strategy. Those three things I'll also note as key things which haven't been concluded, which must be concluded, because that's the national framework that will guide the department and all other departments. Program performance. They all be dropped. National Plan of Action for Children. the NDAC, and then the National Disability Policy Framework, the NDTF, and then the Mainstreaming Strategy for Women. All three, but, and then for children, this is the Disability Policy Framework, and for the National Program for Action for Children. As we move on to page 28, what Crystal and I did was we thought what was very important is to highlight the recommendations from the 2010 BRR and the 2011 BRR. And these are recommendations that our committee had made in relation to those financial years. Just to recap some of the things for 2010, again we noted a financial management system, appointment and vacancies, clearer targets, more emphasis on doing things for women as well as to campaigns and conferences, better clarity for financial statements, mandate needs to be translated, compliance with VFMA, implementation of Pistol and BAS. 2010-11, general things again, the higher concerns, issues of in-year monitoring, clear objectives and targets, strengthening relationships with government departments and the establishment of machineries, implementation of AG findings, the program performance. We requested the Standard Dignity Campaign be reviewed in terms of its viability, sustainability and so forth. Again, outcomes of and attendance at conferences and meetings should be made more apparent. We raise a concern around the education for all campaign. It has to be measurable and achievable targets. Treaty compliance, we noted. We noted again human resource constraints and provide clarity around the nature of MOUs. So picking up on what we had noted, the committee's engagements with the departments for this year and now in recent last 2 weeks, that we noted the observations, the department's objectives, targets and indicators have still not been aligned, not measurable and attainable. Several reports on program-specific initiatives are outstanding and have not been delivered to the committee. The nature of the relationship between the women's program and the CDE is unclear insofar as program and services are concerned. Several of the AG recommendations for 10-11 were not implemented. The department continues to undertake activities that fall outside of its core mandate, which is around M&E. It's unclear what status of resolutions undertaken at conferences and national initiatives are, and progress in this regard is needed. The department must, as a matter of urgency, finalize outstanding country reports, and the department has yet to provide the committee with copies of MOUs signed with provinces and other government departments and entities. Moving now on to...
Just to remind you of something. Right at the beginning of the year, when I started at the end of the year, agreements or MOUs signed, copies of MOUs signed were requested. The government is never ever going to
As we conclude on page 30, the committee commended the department on developing a turnaround strategy which would address challenges raised by the Auditor General and would stabilize the department. The committee, however, noted the concern, the challenges and the recommendations by the Auditor General and encourages the department to expedite the implementation of its turnaround strategy. The recommendations, again, we've grouped them in subheadings, general. The department should take heed of matters of emphasis as highlighted by the Auditor General, as well as promptly implement recommendations and corrective measures as set out by the Auditor General in its audit report on the department. The department should address concerns raised and recommendations made by the committee and expedite implementation of its turnaround strategy within 6 months after it has been adopted. The department should report to the committee on a monthly basis on progress made with regards to the implementation of the turnaround strategy and provide financial statement on a quarterly basis. the department must provide a committee with all outstanding reports that relate to initiatives within the core programs. Moreover, the committee requires the department to provide reports on the implementation of resolutions of conferences, workshops, campaigns, and programs in this regard. Finance. The department's internal audit committee must provide an initial report within a month of the adoption of this report to indicate progress made in the implementation of the HA recommendations. Year after, the committee requires the internal audit committee to provide quarterly reports on outcome of meetings held. The department must guard against overexpenditure in future. HR, the department should finalize the human resource plan based on the approved budget, which should be implemented accordingly. The department should include a career path in the human resource plan. The department should speed up process of employing CSO and the DG. Program performance. The department should, as a matter of urgency, finalize their mainstreaming strategies, monitoring and evaluation framework and tools, which assist other departments in implementing issues related to women, children, and people with disabilities.
That's a very important one. That's a very important for the department to achieve that.
I just have one question on general, the second bullet. The department should address concerns raised and recommendations made by committee and expert on the implementation of turnaround strategy within 6 months after it has been adopted. Now, I don't know when this will be adopted, but is this an achievable time for them to adopt the turnaround strategy? And are all role players or stakeholders included in this turnaround strategy? Will they be able to take those people with them to achieve their goals set in the turnaround strategy? That is a worrying factor to me.
Sorry, Chief, but then I might be out of line now, but I just wanted to ask you a question of clarity. Whose role is it to ensure that the CGE spends their money constructively? Because I just want to know whether we should not have done a sort of a breakdown as well of the CGE. I'm not sure, I'm new, I'm just concerned because I've often heard the department saying they do not know what the CGE is doing with their money and you know, whether they're spending it in such a way that it actually delivers on their mandate. And I'm not sure, you know, because I've seen them before here in this committee, so my assumption is that they report to us as our oversight role to keep them in line. So I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't also include some sort of assessment of the money that the CGE gets and the outcomes and performance. I might be out of line, I'm just raising this as an issue. I'm not sure whether it's...
I'm out of line.
The decision is a tabernacle decision with reports to Parliament, and also the committee that we're looking at issues related to gender, it has to report to Parliament through this committee, and therefore it's reported to the committee. In terms of including, I think whether we should include it in the brief, or in terms of the Act, Money Act, it's a higher department. It requires that if the committee assess performance of the department. And with regard to the entities, the committee can make a report which should be adopted by the committee and you know, tabled in Parliament for Parliament to debate the
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's is a general of, you know, the department of providing the committee of all of certain reports. You know, mine is to, is there a way that we can enforce the department of the country? Because there are a lot of outstanding reports that the committee doesn't get. We must do something around the issue of answers. Six and time frames today, we want the reports from data going to apply. Thank you, Chair.
But even if we do that,
where we talked of the fact that it seems as if the department does not know its mandate. I think that statement should come up, more for other conditions. they don't know what the resolution is.
Yeah, it was, if I can just help them, it was on the ABIC program that they referred to, and on the mother to child transmission program.
Can I add that under general that two additional recommendations? The first one to say that it's important to focus focus on its core mandate, which is coordination, monitoring, and evaluation.
Yeah.
And the second one is, I think that point is also related to the overlap of mandates of other departments.
Yeah.
In the sense that the department must guard against duplicating and overlapping with mandates of other departments.
Mm-hmm. Yes, work with
And I just think I have to concern around the implementation of the President's strategy within 6 months.
Mm.
And the member yesterday in the standing committee said it should be feasible to avoid another FAA, that maybe we look at the implementation in terms of short-term, medium, and long-term. So in terms of the turnaround strategy, that is within 6 months is a clear indication in the short term what to implement, and as an overall longer process, what should be the medium and long term objective. So somehow change the recommendation in terms of, yes, they must expedite finalizing the strategy, but the implementation and reporting in terms of short term goals within the first 6 months, medium term and long term, that should be clearly articulated and reported on accordingly.
Yes, I like that. See, if I can come in there, that is exactly how whole affairs will turn around. That is where they concentrated on the short term goals, medium term goals, and long term goals. Because all goals set are definitely not short term, neither are they medium term or long term. And if that can be articulated, it will definitely be of great help to us. To the departments. You can see the successes that was achieved in our field. So I agree with that one.
I think Honorable Diamo also came up with a suggestion of transferring to the report. So what I would say report.
For the year under review 11-12, that year haven't gone. They must. We can give them a month before the end of November 2012. They've just got to submit all the reports. And if they aren't divorced, then they need to say so. Because we're in the year 12-13 now. So that year's gone, but they shouldn't take another 6 months. So we should request that all reports are sent to the committee by November 2012, and for any reports that have not been concluded or finalized, a clear indication as to why it is for the year under review, which is 11-12. And then for any other reports that have done in 2012, they can also furnish the committee with.
Otherwise, the department to be there for the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
If they cannot perform, money is waste the way it is. We're seeing in this, and you know, once you put in writing, it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous issue. If they cannot perform, and if they can afford to pay retrenchment salaries and bonuses the way they pay,
Why are they there? Why are they there? And the huge salaries are being paid for their performance.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on this issue of the CGE, but you know, in the Auditor General's report, that actually makes specific findings with regards to the CGE, which is almost similar to the issues we are dealing with the department. And I'm just concerned because it feels to me that this is an entity which takes almost a large chunk of this budget of the Department of Women and Children, but somewhere they're not held accountable. And I'm just raising it again because I feel, for example, with communications and portfolio, the entity are scrutinized, like SABC, etc. And I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't just also include maybe a few recommendations with regard to the CGE to say that as a department we expect them to look at the AG's findings and to improve on their performance, because that's an integral part of this department in looking after gender equality. And in the AG's report, there are specific issues, also almost similar issues to what the department is struggling with. So I'm sorry that I'm taking the committee back there, but I think maybe it's an important point to consider.
The committee will be meeting with the CGE for their other report, like you from last day.
Okay.
To consider doing 11-12.
I just want our committee to be eager to be there.
All right.
Everybody to account for every single taxpayer that says meant.
And I'm sure you are aware that Donna's minister has funds, we are a station. The funds, they just come in and they all go to them. But however, they do come in for you.
That's why I thought, I'm just thinking back, because previously I heard in appropriations the department complaining, even the minister, she was actually quite, I won't use the word scathing, but she said, she doesn't quite know what they do with their money. But you see, we can hold them to account for what they do with their money. So that's the only reason why I'm raising that, because we must ensure that with the large amount of money that they get, that they actually also deliver on their programs. Because otherwise, we allow them to get away with murder, in a sense. And that's why I wanted to raise it. Thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me.
If we can have the presentation prior to our meeting, not on the morning of our meeting. You must remember we go back to our constituency even day of tomorrow.
Also the presentation of the CGE. They knew now since last week that they were going to present to us. Why up till now we did not receive any presentation at all? Because it happens every time that valuable documents are given to us the morning of the meetings, and I'm not quite pleased with it. It can rarely be so unfair. I'm thinking on this issue and I'm legit. It seems I want to be very difficult. Also, I don't want to be difficult, but if we are in this committee, if we want to contribute valuable contributions to this committee, we must scrutinize the thing.
Yes, this also will change to drop their presentation only upon for their department. We sit with so many other departments that we need to. So can I just get clarity around the recommendation around the organogram structure and the performance bonus and leave payout? In terms of recommendations, what the committee is requesting in terms of information from the department for year 11-12 under review. We noticed observation that there's huge performance bonuses paid out and people didn't, programs didn't perform. And with no clarity as to huge payouts for leave for those five went to. So what is the
recommendation before you take it is the one that was made by Honorable Lamola to say this. We do need detailed information about the name, who those people are, and how many, I don't know how many they were. Honorable Lamola, you remember when you said we want names and what can go on
it? Yeah, that was on the performance bonuses, it was on page 170 and 171 the dismissal. for the termination of services that went up to 26.8 million. And then also it was on the one that I didn't understand,
performance bonus.
One fifty-three out of 150.
Yeah, and here they've got 134 total employment.
So there's a ghost here in this
Under the eight odd, I noticed. That it would be an indication of the organigram in relation to the names and the level. And for the period under review, the number of people that left, resigned, and their reasons, an indication as to the leave payout for and what level and why, the performance bonus on what basis was that issued and to who and why.
And maybe because that is a department of the organization, they have to watch it for an exit interview. They must provide us with that, you know, report of the most exit interview. What was it called? Why did they leave?
And give us the names. Give us the names of those people. Because we will be needing those next week when we get to the very notorious
question. If the executive is not yet done, what was it?
Because according to PSA,
and what's in check, I think in the last appropriation, when it was asked for the organigram,
and... What? Hold on. What? I forgot how to say this.